a nice little experience of the crazy again by the end of this sermon. But you may have noticed a lot of times in my sermon titles, I don't always talk about it very much, but I'll try to do something that's maybe like a little bit of a pun or a play with a common phrase. And I did that again today, and I actually am going to talk about that a little bit here to start. So many of you may know that the French philosopher René Descartes is famous for the saying, "I think, therefore I am." And so we're looking at "I think, therefore I become" instead today. And you may or may not know kind of like what that really comes from and what Descartes was trying to figure out. And the idea he was wrestling with was, how can I be sure that anything is real? And what's the starting spot for figuring out what like a grounding of existence is? So he said, I'll just doubt everything I can until I can't doubt anymore. And so he doubted everything and said, yeah, I can reasonably doubt that anything exists, something could be fooling me, whatever it is, but I don't feel like I can doubt the fact that I'm doubting. Like, if I'm doubting, if I'm thinking, then at least there's that. So that's what I'll hold on to. And that's where "I think, therefore I am" came from. It's like, if I am thinking, I can't disprove that that process is happening. And so maybe everything is a dream. Maybe, you know, all the people I know are just apparitions or illusions or something like that. But at least if I'm thinking, I know my brain is there and that I at least must exist. And it is a powerful thing to think about. And we can hear, though, also how that became a real grounding point for rooting things solely in the individual. And it is helpful, but I also, and there's a lot of philosophy that has responded to that and said, you know, it's kind of limiting, because it's based on taking everything away rather than seeing potential in something or connectedness in something. It's about stripping away as much as you possibly can, and then you're also just left with a part of what a person is. Our thinking is one part of who we are, but it's not the totality of what our identity is and who we can be and what we can do. And then it also is prone to meaning that the only way that other things get meaning is our own thoughts about them. And so that can lead to potentially attitudes of selfishness if we say we really buy into that in a true Descartesian sense, that, well, you matter only so much as I perceive you, and I think about you, and I project upon you. And we know that that's probably not ultimately the best attitude. Descartes didn't really take it to that extent himself, but that's the risk of having things based on all of that limitation. But thankfulness flips all of that on its head. Because thankfulness is about looking at the things around us, our connectedness and their potential. And especially as people of faith, we look at all of the things that God gives and know that there is meaning beyond just ourselves that we get to be a part of and participate in. And then thankfulness also, rather than limiting things and stripping them down, sees more and more possibility and potential in what they are, because it's reliant on that connectedness. And so things can become more than the sum of their parts if we are thankful for them and think about all of those ways that they come together. But it is also true that sometimes our thankfulness can be limiting in its own way. There's a risk that we can end up just focusing on things more about for what we have possessed or what we are going to hold on to, rather than all of the things that God brings together. And we looked at that especially in last week's sermon when we heard the story of the rich young ruler that talked to Jesus seeking full salvation. And Jesus said, yeah, you've been following the commandments, but if you still feel this sense of it's not quite hitting it all the way just by being a good person or following the checklist, Jesus, I need a new checklist to know I'm experiencing full life. And he said, well, then you can give up all you have and come follow me. We also met Daniel, who, after being conquered by a foreign power, was carried off to their land. And in some ways, it looked like, given every opportunity, they were going to feed him the best food, teach him from all the most renowned scholars, give him all the best privilege in this other land that they could possibly give. But he decided, nope, I'm going to have a vegetarian diet. I'm not going to buy into your system. I'm not going to do all the things just because you were the might makes right. I want to live a different way. And that actually ended up showing Daniel's wisdom. They were recognizing that there is a deeper value system that can bring out more of life if we're willing to operate in it. More than just saying, I'm thankful for what I have and how I hold on to it, but I want to be thankful for a way of life that expands on what I have because I don't see it as just mine. I see all the connections that it can bring about and that God can work in that. So how do we make sure that we operate in that viewpoint? How do we make sure that we have that thankfulness that connects us to God, connects us to others, connects us to the potential of things besides just how we can accumulate them? Thanksgiving season, our Harvest Sunday, when we think about what God has given us, turn it over to God in our stewardship and sharing to see what potential can happen in the life of our church. These are really good times to think about these questions and to root ourselves in that salvation life that God offers. Our shared practices that we're doing, this offering, this stewardship, thankfully trusting our resources to God, is what helps us in particular have a full life with God and each other. Joyful, beautiful, meaningful. And our scripture verses from this morning show us how God has been doing that throughout all of history with God's people, and that we get to be a part of that and experience it best as well. Both of our passages today give examples of important thankfulness and giving back that God's people did. The Deuteronomy passage especially speaks to people dealing with possessions and things that they had. The passage in Colossians turns that same spirit not only to stuff, but to our very selves, who we are, our identities, our relationships, no matter what possessions that we have. I think we can notice a few really important holistic values of thankfulness, stewardship, and offering in both of these passages. And hopefully we can also see ways that we can be applying those values in our own lives at any time, but especially starting with our special shared time today and the special things that we are doing in the life of our community. So the first value that I think we can pull out of these passages is that we are willing to expect the flow of receiving and sharing to happen all of the time. We always see and are ready for a flow of receiving and sharing. We do this because we recognize that sharing starts from God to us. And so then we're able to receive. And if God does that, then we become ready to let things flow back to God and to others. Deuteronomy, in the chapter we read, 26, from 9 to 12, it condenses this understanding into one nice sequence. God gave the land flowing with milk and honey. So I'll bring the first fruits from that land, and then me and priests and even the people who are not our nationality, not our in-group, are able to enjoy it and rejoice from the giving that we're able to do in the goodness of the land that God gave. And it's because what I bring that came from that land is being shared with all of us together. Colossians points out how constant and perpetual that's meant to be. Listen to the interesting turn of phrases that Paul uses. First in verse 3, we always thank God for you. In verse 9, he says, since the day that we heard of you, we have not stopped praying and thanksgiving. Somehow, recognizing that connectedness, having that perspective of thankfulness, and ready to have a flow from ourselves to God and to others, and in a cycle together, is able to not even feel a sense of interruption. Keeps describing these cycles that God blesses you, and so then we thank and pray, and then you thank and pray because you heard that God blessed us, and then we just keep going back and forth together in that sharing and thanking and praying and being mindful of our connectedness together around and around and around, over and over. The second value then, after that flow of receiving and sharing, is that we develop a unity of understanding about what it is that we have and action for how we should use what we have as a part of God's people. So we don't hold those things separately. They automatically come together. And that helps us have a right perspective, not only about what we have, but also what we don't have. That we can have a contentedness of saying, I can be thankful for what I have because I know where it goes. And if I don't, God's taking care of it. In verses 13 and 14 of the Deuteronomy passage today, God invited people to understand, I will not forget what God has done. But the way that we don't forget is unity of understanding and action. Therefore, I will not fail to follow God's commands. Because what God has done is so important and makes so much of a difference from my life, or for my life, I can have it spill out into all the other things that I'm doing. And then Paul makes this really explicit in his message to the Colossians as well. He prays specifically that there will be understanding, but not just understanding as a nice thing to have in our brains, but understanding specifically so that worthy lives will be lived, that get strengthened by God, that then bring about fruit, which will keep that cycle of thinking and understanding and action happening between ourselves, back to God, with others around us all the time. All those things get held together. And then lastly, an important value that we can see in both of these passages that we can stand on ourselves. It's related, but a specific example of understanding and action. We can root ourselves in the history of God's faithful giving. And it's that rootedness in history that helps us then have a vision for the future and how we will have our own part of sharing and stewardship. Again, we don't see those things as separate. That would happen in the past. I don't know if that can apply to me or not. Am I not good enough the way that all the heroes in my Bible verses were? Or has that stopped for some reason and I haven't seen it the same way? We're able to see this ongoing story that has happened, is happening, and of course then will continue to happen. We are a part of it the same way as anyone else that we could read about or hear about. It helps us know what things could become. Do you notice that in Deuteronomy 26, as God is telling the people how to be thankful for what they have, the first practice he tells them for their stewardship, for their sharing, is telling a story. It's not make sure you get things all arranged exactly the right way. It's not measuring stuff out in a certain proportion. It's tell a story to each other and to the priest and to yourselves every year, every time, of how God took you out of bondage and brought you into new possibility. That way we can't miss the history, and it helps us realize that the story is still happening. It's going to keep on happening. And that when we tell it, we see how we participate in it and how we can be a part of the next chapter as well. And throughout our Colossians passage, Paul reminds the church of all that they are connected to across space and time, that helps them and gives them possibility and responsibility to be a part of what is happening. They're connected to other churches and church leaders, to Paul, to Jesus, to the movement of God in heaven and on earth, even before Jesus made the moment that they're in possible. And just like all that has been continuing and expanding and sharing all the way to them from moments and places, their response should and will keep that story going to more people and places. That they were a part of an expansion, and they can keep being a part of expanding. And even and especially that includes people that might be different from their experience, because then we get more of that wonderful power of God's loving, just, and transforming kingdom. So how do we act out this in our own stewardship commitments that we try to make, our own thankfulness in the spirit of the holiday and Harvest Sunday? Just practically speaking, all of us are finding ways to acknowledge, to see, and to bring whatever it is that we have in recognition that it was God's first. Secondly, very practically speaking, we're offering ourselves, even if we might feel insufficient. Maybe it doesn't feel like a lot this year. Maybe we still have our worries and concerns. Maybe we wonder, with a church our size, will we have enough compared to places that we look at down the road that feel like they have everything? But we come with God's contentment, because we know we don't have to have everything to be enough. We're thankful for what God has given us, and we're excited about what God will do with that. And that really, since everything is God's, everything is sort of ours too, when we're connected to God and doing things that God wants us to do, whether it always feels like that or not. And to me, interestingly, after we give our offering, symbolically we do it on the altar, with COVID and everything, we're doing a little bit differently, but we turn. We don't have it in our hands anymore. But our hands are not empty. Our hands are open. Open for what comes next. Open for what we'll keep giving back to God. Open for what God will give back again to us in that cycle for us to continue to use. Full of hope, full of expectation, full of purpose for what will become. That is possible only because we entered that cycle with God. We should remember not just to do this with our stuff, but also with who we are individually and as a church community all together. For example, in this season, as I think about how to be full of thankfulness and stewardship, full of things that help us be ready for what God can help us become, I've been thinking about this a fair amount. And on the one hand, I am very thankful for what we have that I have been getting to share. Just today, we've had this wonderful example of gifts that collectively we have, that I don't personally have, but they're a part of us. And I get to share and enjoy those and find meaning in them. And so I want to make sure that we keep giving opportunities for people to share their gifts and see what is possible. In bells, in playing piano, in learning to do technology stuff, whatever it is. I'm also thankful for where we've recognized what we don't have. And God's used that to pull us out into more connection and relationship. We've got to talk about today how we've been able to get deeper connected to the dance groups, to the scouts, how they want to have more of that relationship, how they have resources and things as who they are that we don't, but we're excited to get to know that we can seek those out and have those connections. We can't do it all, but that still helps us have that closer appreciation for our relationships. And then inviting ourselves into those spaces helps widen the us of our church and our church family so that we're even more capable now, more sustainable in the future as who we are, because it transcends just what any one of us or any small group of us can be. It creates a legacy that goes beyond us in scope of the number of people and throughout time and how long those people will make it to be around. Hopefully this is an exciting thought for us, because things that can have an impact beyond just us really need to take all of us to have a role. And that God will make us the sum of our parts, more than the sum of our parts, if we offer ourselves. But we have to have that possibility and be ready to see more people add to that sum. And I'm thankful especially that we're learning to be a community that is hopeful and expectant, ready for God to take what we have and what we don't and keep helping us step into new sustaining life. In order to do this, in order to make room for what we can become from our thankfulness, our sharing, our stewardship, we'll need a few things. Just like we saw last week with the rich young ruler and with Daniel, let go. They were willing to let go, or had to be challenged to let go of some values that were comfortable for them. They were not everything that God ultimately had that they could live into for their maximum potential and experience. So they had to make room in their hands, let go of that stuff. It was nice, but they knew it wasn't quite enough. And then God was able to pass things into them, and they were able to pass it on along from there and to share. So for opening our own hands, we'll need to continue to help each other build that willingness to explore a healthy discomfort we've talked about here and there. It's like working out. You want to be sore the next day because you know it's happening. It's not always easy, but you know it's good. Or the butterflies is making a new friend. You don't know exactly where it's going to go, but it sure feels exciting. And it's sort of a weird way, but exciting. There's a readiness that we can help each other have to accept that if we're going to have experiences that are meaningful to others, that we need to have room for more than just our own way that we already are used to. We'll keep our hearts open to other things so that someone else who wants to feel included in who we are knows that there's a place for them, whether we knew it right away and what it would look like exactly or not, because there's space for the things that they care about, even if we don't know what those are yet. Sometimes we'll say, you know, that's not exactly what I would do, but I'm really glad that that's something that we do. And we'll help each other also come to realize that it might be that a lot of this stuff feels strange when we work on it together. Maybe even sometimes disappointing. But hopefully we'll also experience it as excitement to know that more of God will be coming into our lives as a community because we're getting things that are meaningful for another person who God loves. And that if God only gave me what I already knew, I'd probably be missing out on something that God has. At least I know that's true for me. Now, maybe there are some of you who are like, yep, I have experienced all of the transcendent creator of the entire universe. And if so, awesome, tell me. I need that because I have not experienced that. So I need you and everybody else who's had those experiences to share them with me and help me enter into them so I can have more of that God that I love. So here's where we get into our spirit of embrace a little crazy. I really want us to remember and have stick in our brains this idea of how we let go of things in thankfulness and stewardship, but then when we do so, they become full of promise and potential because they come from God. This may sound a little bit, again, like I said, weird, crazy, but I think God gave me this analogy just to help it stick in our brains. So as I was thinking about this, we don't want to be limited by I think, therefore I am. We don't want to be limited by a thankfulness that only looks at accumulating our own stuff. We want to be thankful so that we can become all of the wonderful things that God has for us and that will help the world even become better with all the wonderful things that God has to give that because we're living in true thankfulness together. So our practice of thankfulness, our practice of stewardship, our practice of offering ourselves and our resources for ministry together and finding out what God has, it's a lot like a holy and helpful version of money laundering. Hang in there with me. It's meant to be memorable. I know it's a little crazy. Right? Just like with laundering money, our giving and our stewardship is designed to take something that only has so much use and give it its full potential and promise. We could call what we're doing this morning maybe baptizing our resources instead of laundering our money. And that'll help us have that more sense of spirituality and appropriate mindset. But there are some interesting similarities, right? So, three aspects of money laundering. And I'm not saying this, by the way, because I have a lot of experience in money laundering. I promise. I did some good Wikipedia research like anyone else. So, you start with placement. We start with what we have. And for us, it's what we would offer to God. But if it's money from ill-gotten gains, it's something that you can't use, because you don't want to risk getting caught. And so it needs to end up seeming legal in some way. But when it's the resources that God has given us, there's only so much that any of us can do just by ourselves, with only the resources that we bring to. We want and need God's empowerment. So then you do the next step, which is layering. In that case, illegal money gets put together with legal money in something like a high-cash business, laundromats, casinos, all sorts of things like that where there's a lot of cash. So then it's hard to tell the difference. So all the money gets jumbled together. And so then the illegal money can, by all intents and purposes, take on traits of the illegal money. When we do our baptizing, we offer our resources back to God so they can be used for God's purposes. We're operating from God's values of thankfulness, of stewardship, of sharing, of selflessness, of love, and more. And so we and our resources get empowered by God's Spirit and God's being so that they're more involved in what we're doing again. And so what we have takes on more and more of the characteristics of God's Spirit and then takes on more and more of God's potential. And then lastly, there's integration. So what we had in one way with all of its limitations now comes out washed, baptized, full of potential. If you're laundering money, now you can take it out and you can use it, and nobody can say, that was definitely the bad money. I'm going to arrest you.
When we offer our resources and ourselves to God, we get maximized beyond what we could have done by ourselves, because God and God's purposes are now the focus and now infused completely within what we're doing, and they drive our action and decision. And so we actually end up having more, experiencing more than we thought, and that we even could have imagined could have happened for us before we started. So again, I know that comparison sounds a little bit crazy. Powerful impact in our lives sounds pretty amazing to me. So how about we take those steps together this morning? I'll invite Donna up. I'm sorry that if it feels like this. But you're going to pray for our offering and our commitments of stewardship. And so you're going to help us with some serious serious baptizing of our resources this morning.
Let us pray.